Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Today's guest, Jennifer Marnell, went from weighing 300 pounds to 120 pounds through eating right and exercise. She has been a guest on Oprah, Secret Lives on Oxygen, was interviewed by Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN, and appeared in People magazine in a feature article, Half Their Size, Amazing Weight Loss, Look at Them Now. When she appeared on The Oprah Winfrey Show, Oprah said, "That's what I call living your best life." Well, Oprah is right. Jennifer is living her best life, and it is a life she created through hard work, determination, focus, and a belief in herself. Jennifer, you are an inspiration. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, I'm just so glad that you're here. Now, Jennifer, on your website, fitbyjen.com, which I encourage everybody to go to, you tell your personal story. And you said that weight has been an issue all of your life. And you wrote that your family had always been supportive. So when did you first become aware of society's attitude towards overweight individuals? And how did this affect your attitude about yourself?
Well, I'd really always known. I mean, I was big on my life. So I've seen the smirks and the comments, mm-hmm. but that's where the vicious cycle would start, because then I would turn, instead of talking about it, I would just, you know, hide it and turn to food as my comfort. So it was that vicious cycle that started, and that's what got me where I was.
Now, you were 8, you said, when you really started having trouble with your weight?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Now, did the taunting from school kids, because I was terribly shy as a child, and I know it's different, but I was just, you know, kids will find anything to tease, you know, other kids about, and it's terrible. You know, I was teased because I would turn bright red if the teacher ever called me. They called me cherry face or whatever, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, it's just, they can be so cruel, and, you know, I know that must have been really hard for you.
Yeah, it was, but my mom was real good about always, you know, keeping me active and involved. I mean, I was never an introvert. I was always outgoing, and I guess because, you know, that's one thing I just really never paid attention. I was always so much a people pleaser, mm-hmm. so I wanted to please everybody else, and that's why it escalated the way it is, because I never really paid attention to myself. You know, I was always trying to please everybody else and do what everybody wanted me to do, and so I was always focused on that and didn't really focus on myself. So
now, did your family pressure you? I know, for example, a good friend of mine who was overweight, uh-huh. her parents would, especially her mother, would always try to get her on all these different diets, and they were really unhealthy. I mean, they were like, you know, eat lettuce for a week, or, you know, those types
right.
of diets. Now, you said your family was supportive, so they didn't push you to do that, did they?
No. Well, my mom did put me on, you know, a few diets as I got older, mm-hmm. In middle school and high school, because she's seen it escalating, but she didn't really, you know how to tell me. I was actually the only, it wasn't hereditary in my family,
mm-hmm.
I was the only one with a weight problem, so they really didn't know how to talk to me or what to do. So, I mean, of course, I was on a few diets here and there, and some of them worked, some of them didn't. I just didn't stick with them, or only did them because they wanted me to. But yeah, there are different kind of, there was a cookie diet that I was on where you ate oatmeal, oatmeal raisin cookies for breakfast and lunch, and then of course you made little slim fast smoothies and stuff. So,
yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't, you know, and if I wanted to stop, then I stopped, or it was up to me. But
mm-hmm. And when did you first feel physically hindered by your weight, where you really noticed that it got in the way of not just, I mean, other people's attitudes, but how you felt physically actually doing things and activities?
Probably that last year before I decided to lose the weight. I had gotten up to 300 pounds, and that was probably when I really, really started noticing, because I was a TLC nanny. I worked for an agency in Atlanta, and so when I was sitting with kids or trying to do activities with them outdoors, or just even just holding them, sitting on the floor, getting up off the floor, that's when, you know, when I started noticing out of breath, like mm-hmm. people would make the comments, and I would start to have to lie and say, no, I wasn't running to the phone, but it was just simply walking to get the phone. I was out of breath. I just, you know, I have stairs in my house, so I would walk up the stairs and be out of breath. So it was probably that last, I'd say 24 years old.
Okay. And when did you have children?
I adopted her when she was 3, so
okay.
Unfortunately, I can't even blame that for the weight gain. But yeah, I adopted her when I was 3, but she's 16 now, so, I'm her mother, but.
Oh, that's nice. Now, you talk about the last straw that got you to make the change to a healthy mm-hmm. lifestyle. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I was with my family at Six Flags over Atlanta, and we were waiting on the new roller coaster ride that had just come out. It was the Batman ride, and about an hour and a half we waited and then went to get on the ride, and they latched everybody in, and they couldn't latch me. They had a belt that comes across your top and pulls down and tries to latch around your waist, and they couldn't latch it, so I couldn't fit on. And, I mean, they pushed and pushed, and it was just very, very embarrassing right in front of my family. I had to get asked to come off. They wanted to come off, but I told them to go ahead and ride it so I could just have time to, you know, be by myself and cry a little bit. So, but that was very hard. That was the last straw.
And then, actually, how did you make that change? I mean, it was such a dramatic weight loss, and you must have, you know, what was the first step you took? You know, once you got off that ride and you started thinking, okay, I need to make a change, what did you do?
Well, first I went grocery shopping the next day. First is a mindset. You've got to get your mind right first. Mm-hmm. It's not, you can't look at it as a diet. You can't look, it's a lifestyle change.
Exactly.
Because if you make that change, you've got to stay with it for the rest of your life. So you just got to look at it that way. And like I said, the next day I went shopping. I mean, I knew, you know, the healthy foods.
Oh, yeah.
You hear enough about it. I was on enough diets. You know what's better for you, you know, to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I just went grocery shopping and did the first part was just doing the, you know, watching my calories, watching the fat, switch to all baked goods. If I did do sodas, I tried to cut out sodas, but if I did, it was diet sodas. It just increased the water intake and just ate healthy.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked earlier about the role of emotional eating, and you said that the vicious cycle that happened when you were a kid, because you would get taunted, and then it would make you eat more, and then you gain more weight. You know, it's a vicious cycle. And that's such a struggle for so many people. And how were you able to break that cycle of emotional eating? Because I think that's tougher than, you know, just missing certain foods. It's really that dependence that you get on them. How did you handle that?
Well, and that's what I had to learn to do. You just got to learn what your triggers are, and you just got to pay attention. Like I said, once you get your mind right, you can start paying attention to the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to stop and ask yourself, okay, am I really hungry, or am I doing this because I'm stressed? Am I doing it because I'm upset? I mean, and my family was always, my mom was a very good Southern cook, so we celebrated with food, too. So it wasn't just bad emotions, it was any emotion. You know,
okay.
You always celebrate with food and stuff.
Yes.
So you just got to learn to talk instead of turning to the food, because, you know, the food's just going to make you unhappy in the end. So you've just got to learn to have somebody to talk to, you know, whether it be a therapist, whether it be your husband, whether it be your family or somebody that's going through the same thing, you know, it always helps. Or even if you don't have anybody to talk to, write it down, you know, instead of just take a minute and figure out whether you're really hungry or if you're doing that just because of emotions.
Exactly. You know, I recently interviewed a woman who wrote a fantastic book. Her name is Jill Fleming, and she's a registered dietitian, and she has a master's in nutrition. Thin people don't clean their plates, simple lifestyle changes, or it was so great. And, you know, she talks about that, you know, weight, you know, write things down, or when you're feeling that urge to eat, are you really hungry? Or try to, you know, find an activity, do something else for 20 minutes.
Take your mind off of it.
Exactly.
Because it is. And like I said, that is the key, mind control. And it's a mental game. I mean, and to me, it was an addiction. I mean, it's an addiction, and it's one of the hardest addictions, I think, over any, because we have to have food to live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way you can avoid food. I mean, you know, you have the alcoholics or drug addicts, they can go to group and they can avoid their addictions, but you have to go grocery shopping, you have to eat. So you live with your addiction every single day.
Second, there's such a stigma too. And that, you know, I mean, yes, I'm a health professional, and I mean, I'm kind of odd, because I think that if somebody's heavy but they work out and they're, you know, they're trying, I think it's really good. And I don't necessarily think that all thin people are super healthy. I've known thin people who eat a bunch of junk. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm not
the
like
person
we all have
is more unhealthy than the biggest part. I mean, it is. It, you know, for it depends on your exercise and
your like we all don't have to be toothpicks, you know, and I think
society.
The images out there are just so negative. And, you know, I just find that, you know, if you have a drinking problem, people aren't making fun of you. They can't tell. But if you're heavy, and people are taunting you, that's a big difference.
You can't hide from it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, and that's the thing to do with people, too. And they know. You don't have to sit there and tell. They look in the mirror every single day, or they try to avoid the mirror every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they look at themselves. They know they're big.
Yeah.
So, you know, people that sit there and constantly remind them and tell them, I mean, you don't have to do that. They know.
No.
They
exactly.
Work with it.
I know. It's like, what's up with that? It's like, hello, I have a mirror. Now, I wanted to ask, when you first started making the changes, in addition to changing the eating, you joined a gym, and I read that you first exercised in the ladies' portion of Gold's Gym, and then you took a cardio water class, which are super fun. I used to teach those, and I really missed doing that.
They're awesome. That is a great way to start, because being that overweight, it is very hard on your joints mm-hmm. and, you know, your body to sit there and pound on the pavement or pound on the treadmill, and that resistance of that water, I mean, you're actually getting a deep tissue massage as you're working out.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's so good for the muscles and so good for your joints, and you can just last a lot longer, and that's actually encouraging, because maybe you can only last 15 minutes on the treadmill, but you can last an hour in the cardio class.
Oh,
so
great.
It just boosts your, you know, energy up, and it makes you feel a lot better.
Now, did you lose a certain amount of weight doing the water exercise before you went out and did some of the, you know, the more aerobic stuff on land?
I lost about 50 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, before and then I got out and started doing more of the group fitness classes, the other classes that they offered in, like the toning class. That's when I started toning and using the weights and doing that part of it.
Wow. Now, how long did it take you to go from 300 to 120? Because that's, 180 pounds. That is, wow, that's a lot.
It took about 2.5 years.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a slow process, but that's the way.
No, that's the way it should be. Healthy weight.
You've got to be patient. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's, and a lot of people ask about, you know, the skin and recovery and stuff, too, and that helps, too. You got to do what you got to do, and if you do the bypass thing, that's what a lot of people get discouraged, because you do lose it so quickly
mm-hmm.
that your skin has nowhere to go. It has no time to recover and bounce back.
Is that something you had considered but didn't because of what you just mentioned with the skin?
No, well, you know what? It wasn't that. It was a little well-known, but it wasn't as big as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just never really, I never really thought about it because I didn't really hear a lot about it, because I had always done the diet thing. I had never really heard or known anybody to do the bypass. So, no, I really didn't.
No, the way you did it is great. You did it.
I mean, I knew there was nothing wrong with me. Like, I could be active, because I'd always been active all my life. Even though I was overweight, I still played ball. I was healthy when I was smaller,
mm-hmm.
When I was younger. But, you know, when I got older, then I stopped with the exercising and stopped with the playing ball and doing all that stuff and concentrated on being mom and wife. So, again, I was focusing on other people. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, in People magazine, you were asked a question, I need to lose weight, how can I get started? And you had said, just take it day by day. And you also said that you didn't set a goal that you were going to lose X amount of weight, because if you didn't achieve it, it could have been, you know, one more thing
right.
to bring you down. And I thought
right.
that was such good advice. If you can tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, you don't want to set yourself up for failure. And, I mean, it is good to have goals, but set them small goals. Like, if you wanted to say, you know, I'm just going to work on losing maybe 2 pounds this week, you know, or X amount in a month. But you really just got to take it day by day and watch how, because you're going to lose it quickly in the beginning, because it's such a drastic change. So most people do lose it quickly, and then they start gradually pulling off. So if you constantly set those goals from where you first started, it's going to get discouraging, and it'll kind of play with you mentally, and because you're not achieving your goals. So just take it day by day, and any little achievement, even if you didn't lose weight that week, well, at least you didn't gain anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's good.
Exactly. I used to teach weight management, and I took definitely a positive spin. It's like you have, it's okay to make little goals, but you got to make them realistic. If you're going to set goals, that is so important.
Right.
You can't
right.
say, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this week. And as a matter of fact, healthy weight loss is 1 to 2 pounds a week anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people can't focus. And I was bad about that too. After I lost weight, I focused a lot on the numbers, but sometimes it comes off more in inches and just more total all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can't really focus on what the scale sometimes, you know, you got to focus on how you feel, how your clothes are fitting, Mm-hmm. You know, and that's another key too. Throw your clothes away as soon as you start. I mean, it is.
It's all good.
Kind of mental tricks. You know, as soon as you can't fit in them anymore, throw them away, because then you don't have that crutch to go back and say, oh, well, I have those pants. I don't have to go shopping. It's very embarrassing if you have to go. You don't want to shop for a bigger size. You want to shop for a smaller size. So.
That's funny. I like that. That's a good idea. I never thought of that. So there's like a lot of little things that you can do to help yourself.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
And again, setting those goals and also just being easy on yourself. It's hard to make big changes, especially if you have been eating for emotional reasons.
It's scary. I mean, we're all creatures of habit, and habits are, and a lot of it is habit. It's hard to break. You know, it's a lot easier to start with a habit than to undo it. So. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think even if, like you were saying, if you don't lose any weight that week, you know, did you walk your 20 minutes a day? And the other thing, maybe people have to start with 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day and 20, you know, maybe it'll take them a month to work up to where they want to be, but don't be discouraged, you know,
do what you can. And just little things like parking further away. Like when you go shopping, don't get the front parking place. Go further back and walk further to the store, or walk a little bit longer while you're in the store. You know, you can just, little tricks like that, you know, will add up each day if you start doing that.
Exactly. Now, once you lost a lot of weight, you were on Oprah. And you know what's funny? Because I remember, I don't watch Oprah a lot, even though I do like her. I'm usually busy during that time. But I remember you. And this was 2008, right?
Cool.
Because you were part of Oprah Winfrey and Bob's, and I love Bob Green. Mm-hmm. Bob Green is great. If anyone go out there, I'm going to try to get him on. He has some great books, really good stuff on healthy eating and exercise, really practical. Oprah Winfrey and Bob's Best Life Challenge, and the show had people who were featured in the Half Their Size article, which was in People Magazine, and you were part of that. Right. And I remember, like I said, I saw you on Oprah, and I was mesmerized. You're so beautiful. And,
oh, thank you.
I mean, really, you just have such a glow about you. Mm-hmm. And again, the show was a roundup of inspirational weight loss stories, and it was in an effort to get a million people to sign up to lose weight in 2008. So how does it know to feel that you were chosen to inspire millions of people?
Oh my goodness. It was like a whirlwind. I mean, you know, I didn't realize that that's what would come.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, you know, I was excited. I was very happy. And if I could help anybody, you know, it was better than nobody. So it was, like I said, it was just kind of a Julia Roberts moment, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got a better smile, I'm telling you. Now, how did you get in touch with people in Oprah? Did you send your photos? Did you send a videotape story?
It was Gold's Gym. What set it off was I went, Gold's Gym had they started a new thing where it's called Change Your Body, Change Your Life. Mm-hmm. And it's a big award. They have a convention every year in July in Vegas. And so they decided to do a Change Your Body, Change Your Life award for the most dramatic change. So I got nominated for that. And I went to Vegas. And I was runner-up for that. Me and the winner, it was actually both me and him. It was two different stories. I was a weight loss story, and he was actually a physical handicap story where he overcome and learned how to walk because of a trauma as a child. So both of our stories just kind of took over, and then I did a little publicity, and People Magazine actually got in touch with me because they knew about the articles and seen me through Gold's. And then they got in contact. They always work with Oprah. Every year she has people on sometimes from there. Mm-hmm. So they contacted Oprah, and Oprah picked, there was, I think, 10 in all, and then she picked me and one other girl to come on the show. So.
Oh, yeah. I can see why she picked you. Now, speaking of winning things, you were crowned local karaoke queen in 2005, and I love karaoke as well. So what's your favorite song to sing? And what'd you sing it for?
That was fun. No.
That's okay. I'm teasing. But what do you like to sing? What songs do you like?
Any and everything. Just something that's catchy, something that's going to get the audience involved, something upbeat. I don't sing a lot of slow stuff because I do. I like to sing upbeat stuff. I'll sing guy songs. I'll sing women. I'll sing rock. I'll sing pop, R&B. It just it doesn't matter. Whatever I like.
Well, if you ever come to Boston, we're going to have to go karaoke. My dad and his wife actually live in Georgia. So,
okay.
You're down there, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway. We'll make plans another time.
Okay.
Now, you had already talked about the mind change, and that was key for you in starting your journey. Again, that is so important. That's why I wanted to go back to that. You got to make that decision that you really, you know, have the mindset that you're ready to make the change. Because if you're not ready, you're going to, it's easier to flip-flop, right?
Right, right. It is. If you're not ready and prepared for it and prepared to tough it out, you know, do the good and the bad and start over. If you have a bad day, you just got to pick yourself up. Everybody does. Everybody has their bad days. Just start over.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Even people who are regularly physically active. I mean, I'm slender, but my knees, I've always had problems with my knees. You know, my hip hurts sometimes. You know what I mean? Like there's certain days I can't do as much as I want or, you know, you get discouraged, but you got to keep on going. Now, what role did your family play? Did they change their lifestyle as well and exercise with you and eat the right types of foods?
Yeah, to a certain extent they did. I mean, they were very supportive, like whatever I needed to not have in the house. Mm-hmm. And that's what I recommend. If you have any temptations, just don't have it around. Don't have it in the house. So, I mean, they were very good about that. You know, I would cook certain things for me and then certain things for them that they liked, or we would all eat together and I'd modify. You know, it was just kind of adapting. And, of course, I mean, it didn't hurt them at all to get healthy. They didn't need to. They're both skinny as a rail. So. But, yeah, and they were great. I mean, they're really not big exercisers, so I did that a lot on my own, but well, my daughter runs cross country now, so she's a big runner. But as far as the weights and all that kind of stuff, they weren't quite as enthusiastic as me. But yeah, they were right there every step of the way though, and supportive in any way that I needed it.
All right, now when did you become a personal trainer?
Well, after I'd lost the weight, well, first I'd hit a plateau like everybody's gonna do. And I didn't know what to do. I was about 180 pounds, and I needed to lose the rest. And I had started working at a Gold's in Marietta, working out there. I had to take a boy to speech therapy every day for 2 hours. So I hopped over there and worked out, and there was a trainer there that said, well, you know, and I was talking to him. He said, you just need to change up your routine. Your body goes and adapts to your routine. So you got to change up what you're doing, change up what you're eating, and change your routine. So that's when he introduced me to the free weight. And doing a lot of that, and then changing more of what I was eating to more protein, more vegetables, and cut out some more of the carbs. So then I lost like 20 pounds within a month.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it shocked my body. You've just got to shock your body. It gets used to the same old routine. So I was inspired by what he did and knew that it worked, so I wanted to do that with other people. So I decided to pass that along and do the personal training.
Well, I think it's wonderful because you've been there, you've done that. You know what I mean? Like
right,
you actually know, you know, what it's like. And I think that's so important. You know, go ahead.
Well, and that's what, you know, a lot of people can relate and feel more comfortable because I know what they're going through. And I know when to push them, when not to push them, what they can and can't do. Because a lot of trainers, I mean, they're good, don't get me wrong, but they've never, like, been in an obese person's shoes. They've been thin all their life.
I was thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can relate to them sometimes in a way that other trainers can't.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, because I used to be a personal trainer, and, you know, I think I was very easygoing. I tended to have either older clients or folks with disabilities or something, because as a kid, I was just one of those, you know, skinny, awkward kids that, you know, couldn't throw a ball or do any sports and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I kind of, even though I was never heavy, I kind of had that feeling of empathy and like, you know what, I know what it's like to not fit in and to feel just uncomfortable in my body. So I tended to be a little more gentle. I remember I used to teach a step class and with women 60 and over. I used to teach a water arthritis class, you know, so I think it's good whether your trainer's been heavy or you know, when they have more empathy, that's all I'm, you know, trying to say. I think it makes a difference.
Right, exactly.
You know, but, you know, I would love it if you wanted to come on, you know, every couple months and just, you know, do some personal training tips for the show, if you would like that. I would love to have you do that.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great, because you really are such an inspiration. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on today. Now, I know that you can, people don't have to be where you live. You can train over the phone. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. Yeah. Can you give us your information so people can get in contact with you?
Yeah, well, just fitbyjen.com.
Okay.
And there's a link there that they can go to that emails me directly. And just what they do is just email me and we'll set something up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll get back in touch with them and then we go from there. I'll call them and do a consultation over the phone and see what their goals are and see what we can work out.
Oh, good. Well, I'll tell everybody I know. And we have a lot of listeners to the show, so people are going to be really excited. So I want to thank you again. Now, next week, July 7th, I will be away. So if you tune in, you will hear the wonderful interview I did with Jill Fleming, which I mentioned her earlier in the show on June 2nd. Then People Don't Clean Their Plates, Simple Lifestyle Choices for Permanent Weight Loss. And when I return on July 14th, big announcement, there will be back-to-back episodes of It's Your Health every Tuesday morning, one from 9:30 to 10 and the other from 10 to 10:30, except for the first Tuesday of each month. Now on July 14th, we have two wonderful authors, Mark Reinfeld, the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw from 9:30 to 10, and Bethany Frankel, author of the New York Times bestseller, Naturally Thin, Unleash Your Skinny Girl and Free Yourself from a Lifetime of Dieting from 10 to 10:30. So be sure to tune in and remember, two shows now a week on It's Your Health, except for the first Tuesday. Lots of good stuff coming up. On July 21st, we have Tara Costa from The Biggest Loser. So just keep listening. Jen, I want to thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Have a great.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. I can't wait to have you on again. I'll be in touch. Have a great week. Keep being healthy. Oh, and if you want to get in touch with me, itsyourhealthradio.org, or you can email me, lisa@itsyourhealthradio.org. Take care, everyone. Go out and exercise. Woohoo!